Dear friends, we come to this portion of God's Word in our topical series of studies on the doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ. And as I've said before, I've tried to make this to be as practical a matter as possible. And we said that as there has been a growth by God's grace amongst us of different people, new individuals coming in, we want to go back to some of the basics and to recalibrate our thoughts, as it were, to think biblically about what is a church, what are we about? And some of the teaching could be uncomfortable. It is, and certainly I've had to be preaching to myself some of the subjects, some of the things that I've said. It has been for the ministers of the gospel and for elders, and we will have more of that too. And I'm also conscious that as we think about these things, there are always amongst us people who are not Christians. And if you're not a Christian, you ought to think here tonight of how Jesus Christ, by His grace, has brought people from different backgrounds to be part of His body. And these people are now made alive. These people are not part of the body of Jesus Christ because they wanted to, because they were brought by grace. They were made alive. They used to be blind. They used to be merely religious people, maybe. But now they're alive. And so the things that the Bible says, we love it. And sometimes it is that we find it hard, but we know it is true. We are not kicking against it. We need to be encouraged, and we need to be admonished, and we need to be helped again and again by the under-shepherds of Jesus Christ to move forward, to not simply stay back. Don't be going backwards. And that's the purpose. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, we have been given this description of the gathered church, and that those who were gathering in that locality of Ephesus, and they are being described as a body, a ministering body, a body that is being built up, a growing body. And how they are all part of the ministry, the work of God. We've seen how the Church of Jesus Christ is the most important institution, the most serious organization and people on earth. God's business in this world is mainly regarding His church, as His gospel is preached through His church to this world. The Church of Jesus Christ is the product of God's Son, His incarnation, His atonement, His ascension. It is something that will be brought before the Lord Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ on that final day, glorified, sanctified fully, perfectly. We said that this body is described as saints in verse 12. The church is the body of saints, the redeemed part of the Savior's body, owned by God, justified and sanctified. And so we talked about that the last time. We said something about the perfecting work of the body. The goal of the church, the goal of us living now, is one of being perfected. The Lord is working upon us as the potter. He's putting His pressures. He's turning us and turning us and turning us at different speeds. And He's working on us to make us into the image that He wants us to be. And that word perfecting, as is referred to in this passage, it is to do with being complete, being ready, being set up, being established. We said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through to 12, there are various ways that this is described, this imagery of the building, this house that God is building. And we said that this perfecting of the saints is to edify the church. It means to be bringing the church to a unity of the faith, that we are coming to the same understanding of things. We are growing in the same way, in the same direction. We are not going all over the place. We said that the perfecting that the scripture speaks about, the perfecting of the saints means to bring the church to a perfect man, as it says in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We said that this perfecting of the saints, this work that the Lord is doing upon us, is to bring the church to spiritual maturity so that the members are no longer children, tossed to and fro. As it says in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. We said that this perfecting of the body, it means to protect the church from spiritual dangers, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So it's a serious task. It's a great task. It's a holy task. So if you're a child of God, especially if you're a member of this local church here, what a privileged position you have. What a serious position you have. What responsibilities you have. And we said some things about that the perfecting of the church. God is at work. But then I stopped there because we ran out of time, and I want to now discuss about the growth. The Church of Jesus Christ is a growing church. Everything else in this world becomes smaller and smaller. Things change in this world. But the church is one entity that continues to grow. And this is what we read here in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. That's God's will for this local body. That we would be growing, spiritually speaking, as well as, of course, numerically. This kind of a church that the apostle speaks about to the Ephesians, it is a church that makes progress. That's what we need to be, dear friends. To be making progress. That's why every sermon that is preached, it is to point you as signs, go forward. This is the way. This is the way of the Word of God. We are moving ahead. We are to be getting stronger. This is the opposite of the direction that so many are going. So many churches even are moving, which is weaker, less wisdom, less doctrine, less sound teaching, less power, less fruit, less vision, less zeal. The church that is growing is not to be going backwards, dear friends. It is a church that is growing in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom, the Bible says. The Lord Jesus Christ is our way. He's our life. He's our strength. That's where we get our source of help from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. And through Him, we are the branches of that vine, Jesus Christ. The kind of church that the Apostle Paul is talking about is the kind of church that is growing, it says, in all things. Not in some things, but in all things. So you and I, every member of this church, every believer who seeks to join themselves, we ought to be saying, I need to be growing in all things. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ commanded, to teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the pastor needs to be dealing with all kinds of things in the Bible. We are not just preaching the same kind of things and not touch on every aspect of our lives. So in a ministry of the Word of God, all sorts of things are discussed from the Scriptures, because we are conforming our lives. And your life, my life is very complicated. We are complex creatures in a very sinful and complex world as well. And so we need to bring every thought captive to the glory of Christ, to that obedience of Christ, the scripture says. And this is a great job, great task. And so you and I, if you're a child of God, every saint should be passionate about this, to grow up into him in all things. Or we will be limping. We'll be a one-sided Christian. We need to be people who would be healthy on all fronts and dealing with issues constantly. Not just brushing certain things, as we would say, under the carpet and say, well, no, we don't need to deal with this issue. Let's just concentrate on just one thing. No, we need to concentrate on everything that the Word of God has given to us. But this church that the Apostle Paul is referring to is also not just a growing church, but a building church. There's a different connotation on this. Look at verse 16. A building church. It says in verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying or the building of itself in love. This love is the foundation, the love to God, the love that we experience through salvation in Jesus Christ. But this is a building that is growing. It's a building church. We are under construction, we could say, outside. We could always have a sign outside. Under construction. We are being built up. Every time we come to hear the Word of God, every day that passes and every page of your Bible that you read, what is that saying? Being built up. Being built up. That's what's happening. And we need to encourage that. We don't want to stay the way we have been. I hope there is this unrest, in the right sense of the word, in you, that you want to be growing, be built up. And you need to be building one another up as well, in love, as it says there. So a New Testament church, when we talk about a New Testament church, here is the blueprint. It operates as a body with every member having an important part in the life of the body. The body is being built up, or else you'll become a caricature. And you've seen caricatures, haven't you? The artist goes and makes the ears bigger, makes the nose bigger than what it is normally, and so on. We don't want to be a caricature. Just concentrating on certain parts, but not all of the parts need to be being built. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12 we read, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. I says there is this one body, and all of the members of this body are part of this body. So we need to think about this as a whole, the body of Christ. The life of this body, the life and ministry of this body flows from Jesus Christ, from whom, it says. It says in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. That goes back, points to verse 15, points to Jesus Christ there. He is the source of all the spiritual life by the Spirit. So if we don't have life, we need to go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the source of life. If you feel cold and dead at heart, what do you need? You need Christ in your life. All his people have to do is to be led by, as it says in Galatians 5:18, walk in, as it says in Galatians 5:25, be filled with, yield to, mind the things of, and put on, as it says in Ephesians 4 and verse 24, the Holy Spirit of God. The body, we are told, is fitly joined together and compacted. What's that telling you? It's talking about being united. It is to be united in God's spirit and in God's will. It is to be joined together like the human body, for which it is a metaphor. It's a serious thing. When we talk about unity, it's something that is serious. It is a serious unity. This is spiritual unity based upon the Word of God. It's the Word of God that unites us together. It's not a worldly kind of unity because, we just like each other. Because we all do the same kind of thing. That's not the kind of unity we are talking about. We have the same kind of interest. That's not the kind of unity that we are talking about. It's the Word of God, the truth of God, the doctrines of Jesus Christ that unites us. And every member here, every member, when we talk about the work that is involved and the seriousness of the work that is involved, you all are to supply your part of the work in the body, for which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So as I'm talking about these things, and I'm saying that you need to be active, I'm not just talking about find some sort of ministry, so have some sort of a task to do and think, well, from now on, this is my role that I will be doing this thing and so on. We're not just talking about those outward things. But what does the scripture say? How could that person who has lost abilities, maybe physical abilities, still they are part of the body? What can they do? How can they supply the need? How can they be active member of the local church here? Let me speak to you about, very briefly, and this in itself could be a whole series of sermons, of the one another's in the Bible. The one another ministry that is emphasized throughout the New Testament. That's why we need to read our Bibles through and highlight, these are my responsibilities as a member of the local church. For example, in Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, we are told that we are to admonish one another. One of the tasks, one of the responsibilities, one of the ways you build up one another is warning ministry. You admonish one another. Another thing is, by love, serve one another. In Galatians 5:13, serve one another. I will highlight just 10 of those one another's here. So first, admonish one another. And then by love, serve one another. Galatians 5:13. So that's your task. That's my task. Third thing is this. Bear ye one another's burdens, it says in Galatians 6 and verse 2. Bear one another's burdens. You can do that by God's grace. You see someone with a load of care. And they speak to you. You bear them up with them. You go alongside someone in that sense. Bear ye one another's burdens. Another thing that you could be doing is this, which really is so effective. If you and I, we operate on this level, is forgive one another, the Lord says. If we were to read further on in Ephesians 4 and verse 32, it says, forgiving one another. Hardest of things. And yet, as a child of God, you have received forgiveness from God. You're called to forgive one another who are forgiven of God. That's in verse 32. Then we are told in Colossians 3:13, the fifth thing is this, forbearing one another. Oh, how we need that. Being patient with each other. We aggravate each other and we can easily become discouraged, and you forbear, you forgive, you bear one another. All of these things. The sixth thing is this, teaching and admonishing one another. That's what you're doing as part of your, when you're singing God's praises in Colossians 3 and verse 16, it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So that's what you're doing. You're confirming the truth. You're singing the doctrines of the faith. And you're saying, we agree with this. We uphold these things. We remind ourselves of these things. This is what the Lord has done. And this is what He calls us to be. So you're teaching one another. You're admonishing one another. But then seventhly, we are to comfort one another. Comfort one another. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18. That's a great privilege, great ministry of comforting one another. And this world is a very sad world with all kinds of troubles, people with broken hearts. What should we do as a people of God? We comfort one another by what the Lord has done, reminding each other of the grace of God and the mercy of God through the Lord Jesus. The eighth thing is this. We are told to edify one another. Not to destroy, not to cut down. Even in our admonition, it is to do with building up. It is done out of love. We speak the truth in love, the scripture says. So in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, we are told, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, edify one another. So these are the things you ought to be doing. I am here to build you up, but you're also to build me up. That's the response. That's the responsibility. Ninth thing is this. Exhort one another. That's in Hebrews 3:13 and Hebrews 10:25. We have to exhort each other. Challenge each other. To call each other. To going forward in the things of God. Exhort one another. And then in Hebrews 10 and verse 24, the 10th thing, and there are more things as well, but the 10th thing is, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You consider one another, you're thoughtful about each other, to what? To provoke. There are bad ways we can provoke each other, but there is a good way to provoke each other. To provoke unto love and to good works. So this has nothing to do with, I've not said anything about attendance, I've not said anything about some outward thing, something that you think, oh, this needs to be done. These are all the things that we are all called to be doing. So every member of the church is to be thinking about how he or she can contribute to the edifying of the body in these ways. How can I help? What can I contribute? How can I encourage and how can I strengthen my fellow brethren? What can I say? What can I do? What can I give? How can I pray? And so the ministers of the gospel, the preachers come and they point you to this and that. These are the ways. This is what the Lord says. So it is not the task of the leadership, it's not the task of the elders to be doing all of the work of the ministry. No. They are to be preparing all of the saints for the work of the ministry. So every member has a function. So you list, make a list of yourself. These are my functions. These are my responsibilities, duties, the privileges that I have. I have a function in the body. But my friends, not everyone has the same kind of tasks or equal functions. Every member doesn't have the same authority. For example, we see the pastoral authority in the scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 12 and 13, we read, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." That's one of my tasks, to admonish, to warn you. And so you might say, well, that's sometimes the ministry can be quite negative. Well, that's something that the Lord has called me to do. I hope it is not something that is destructive for you, but challenges you and helps you. I'm not here to tickle ears and to make you feel comfortable. You see, we are at war. And the captain comes and he says, we are at war. Be ready. Be ready. Keep your eyes open. Don't fall asleep. Don't be lulled to the noise and to the sounds that you are hearing. It says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And in Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17, we read, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And the authority of the church leaders, especially the elders, is seen in the term of the bishop, the overseer. And we will deal with this, God willing, at some point, about to what level. Are you to obey in everything? What's the limitation? Is there any limitation? So, think on these things, dear friends. If we don't do our part, if we don't do these one another's that we were talking about, our responsibilities together, then how can we function? How can we be a true church of Jesus Christ? Every member must do his unique part. You, if you're a member of this church, you're placed in the body according to God's will, with your special characteristics, your background, all kinds of things. The Lord knew your background, and the Lord said, you will be just right for the folk at Providence Chapel. And so you might think, well, I wish we had different kind of members. I wish we had people who had this ability and that ability and to have these characteristics. Well, no. The Lord in his providence brought us together. It's like not being able to choose our families. The Lord gave you the kind of children that you have because they need you and you need them. And so it is here. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11, we read, but all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. It's the Holy Spirit is working out his purposes according to his will. So every member must therefore seek his place and accept as well that place and excel in it. Excel in that place in the body. And if members do not function in the way God calls them to function, then the whole body suffers. If a member tries to do a part that is not his or hers, the whole body suffers. If there's a lack in the church, it's because there are those who are contributing or there are those who are taking the place of others and not doing their tasks. If the hand says, I want to be the foot, if the eye says, I want to be an ear, the body is going to be crippled because a hand is not a foot and an eye is not an ear. We read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, the Apostle Paul said, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, the body. The body is to increase. God has designed every body to be fruitful, to increase. When God made the creation, he said, he made it to bear fruit after his kind. It says in Genesis 1:11. So we ought to be growing spiritually after the kind of God. And we ought to be increasing numerically, of course. Not just one or the other. The body is to edify itself in love, it says. Edify. To build up. That's what it means. Spiritually profiting and to make advancement. The members are to love the church and to seek to edify it. And how difficult it is. It means that there are people who may not be so lovely as you are, but you are to love them as the Lord loves us. Are we lovely? Are we able to commend ourselves to God and say, look, Lord, how lovely I am? No. But the Lord loves us with everlasting love, and we need to have the mind of Christ in us in the same way. Everything is to be done in love, not for the pastor. Pastor, I did that for you, or for anything else, but in love for the Lord. God is love, and His kingdom is a kingdom of love. And the church is the forerunner and the outstation of the coming kingdom, as it were. So to participate in the ministry of the body must be a major focus of the believer's life in this world. Is that your major focus? To participate in the body of Jesus Christ? Because that is the focus of the Lord. But we are living in a world, especially in the Western world, that we have, especially in the last decades, we've lost sight. It seems that previous generations, the lives revolved around the things of God and service for the Lord. And when they booked their holidays, when they went to places, when they did things, arranging their weekdays and so on, it was done around the things of God and the work of God. But it is the opposite way around now. Things are done when it suits. So I'm challenging this. Ask yourself about these things and ask, am I putting the Lord first in my life? And this may come as a strong statement, but it is true. And you must see why the current church is weak in the Western world. Is it because there is so little of this kind of attitude? Are we living for self and even for our families? Not in the spiritual, in their spiritual development, but in the social aspects of things, so that they might get on well in the world. And not seeing our life to be primarily a Christian life, connected to the body of Christ. I'm not saved to live for myself and or unto myself or by myself. I'm saved to be a member of a body. This is the very opposite of a self-centered life. It's a giving life. That's how it should be. A life that lives for others, which is the Christ life. So this kind of a church that the apostle is talking about requires a heart-level commitment and faithfulness on the part of all of the members. So you consider things. You consider the worship of God, the gathering of the saints, our services. Every service of this kind of a church should be carefully designed to build up the body. And every member is a necessary part of this. So every member and their attendance, they're part of this body. It's necessary. Every member ought to be attending to get as much out of the service as possible and to contribute as much as possible. You see, the ministry that goes on, the pastors, the preachers who come, they're thinking, how can we help? And they're studying through the week. And then what a heartbreak it is when people don't come. When people who they're trying to feed won't come to be fed. Think on that, dear friends. To get as much as possible from the prayer. The church must have a lot of corporate and body prayer. And the people must be present for this ministry to be most effective. If you read the scriptures and you see in the New Testament, the church met and they had all various kinds of meetings for praying together in all kinds of circumstances. But people must be present for that. If you think about the tiny percentage of the members attending prayer meeting, how sad that is. We could do better in this, dear friends. The members could do better in this. To neglect corporate prayer regularly, I would say to you, is not right. And I'm speaking bluntly with you. You have opportunities of all kinds. On the Lord's Day, before the evening services, at the midweek prayer meetings, and mornings and days of prayer. Those who neglect these things, I would ask you, if you regularly neglect these things, I ask you, are you better off for it? Or are you and your families, you're spiritually worse off for it? Are you on fire for God? Are you having mini revival in your soul? Or are you just being just on cruise control? And I appreciate that this is something that pastors bring up often in the church. But it's something that has been a concern throughout the ages. It's not just our church here, but it was the issue at the Metropolitan Tabernacle during the revival years under Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And I came across this in one of his sermons, and I thought I'll quote it. And he challenged his people in the 1800s. And he said this to his congregation. He says, "I would that some of you who are absent from the prayer meeting, upon any little excuse, would reflect how much you rob us all. The prayer meeting is an invaluable institution, ministering strength to all other meetings and agencies. Are there not many of you who might, by a little pinching of your time and pressing of your labors, come among us a little oftener?" You see, the same issues existed then. And so I'm not saying that there's something majorly wrong with us, that we are abnormal. We're just like everybody else throughout the ages. We need to think on these things and be challenged by these things. So, dear friends, prioritize the things of God and the good of the Lord's people and the work of the Lord in your life. Let everything else revolve around it. What kind of a church was the Ephesians 4 church? If God saw, dear friends, one minister said, if God saw that his people really cared about praying, so that they were in attendance at the prayer meetings and were fervent about praying, he said, would he not be moved? Would he not be moved? He would be moved. Something else I would say is this. I've mentioned the prayer meetings. I also want to mention about praise and the singing of God's holy name. It is a ministry to one another. We read this in Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. This is something to be done to one another. Singing. Are we really singing and praising, raising our voices to God from the heart? Are we like churches in which the people don't really sing? Don't sing out heartily? Are we being distracted by looking around us and so on? But what I'm encouraging you to think on this, what does the scripture say? You're speaking, you're thinking, you're praising, you're speaking to yourselves, but you're praising the Lord. You're making melody in your heart to the Lord. May that be our kind of worship. But to get as much as possible from the preaching and teaching. That's another mark of a church. There must be few distractions as possible. We ought to be thinking, how can I be fed? And what the preacher is preaching today, am I taking it on board? Am I listening for myself or am I listening for someone else? Have I switched off my devices so things don't go off and distract? Have I got a Bible on my lap? Am I ready and studying and praying as the Word of God is being preached? Am I thinking, well, this thing needs to change in my life. This thing needs to improve here and there. Am I, at least in my mind, if not on a piece of paper, taking notes and saying, Lord, speak to me before the sermon, pray. During the sermon, pray. After the sermon, pray. That's why afterwards, when the service is over, just for even for a few seconds, we pause, we bow our heads, we are praying, Lord, apply these things to my heart. Teach me, Lord, and help me in the things that I have heard tonight. Let us be focused on the Word of God. Let us be listening, dear friends. Let us be capturing things, learning to understand the Bible better, looking at God's message for myself personally. Consider what I need to change, noting things that can be discussed with the family, but also something else. To get as much from and to contribute as much as possible to the fellowship of the saints. Coming with the mindset to encourage and to build up the brethren. That should be the attitude. Every time we come together, I have this mind to build you up. You have this mind to build me up. I have this mind to show my love in some way, to encourage, to exhort, to comfort, to pray for. And so this is how we ought to be. This is how we ought to be with visitors. To think, what can I say? How can I be a blessing to this individual? I don't know them. They don't know me. They've come amongst us. They may not know my language very well. I'm going to speak to them and be a blessing to them. We have such short times with one another. It could be the last time. It could be the last time that you are in this world. And what would be the last impressions you leave behind? Dear friends, thank God that God is at work in building His church. Praise God for that. Praise God that He is very gracious towards us. He's full of compassion, as we were reading in that psalm. He's so patient. And He's given us this revealed word. And He says, this is how you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. This is how you are to be as a church of Jesus Christ. And He sends you with the power of the Holy Spirit, the great comforter. And the great instructor and teacher of your soul. Let us be ready to hear His voice and run to obey and do God's call. Let us have a humble attitude, dear friends. You know, before Isaiah said, here am I. What did he say before? He sensed his own weakness. He sensed his own sinfulness. Before he was ready to serve the Lord and say, Lord, here am I, in Isaiah chapter 6. What do we read? It says this, woe is me, for I am undone. He sensed himself and he says, things are not right in my life, in my heart. He says, because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But then he says this, but something wonderful has happened. Something glorious has happened. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So are your eyes seeing the Lord high and lifted up? Do you see how God is at work amongst us and we praise His name for it? Are you humbled by that? Then it is in the light of that. When you feel so humbled and you're thankful to God, you say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, send me, use me. Be much in the place of looking to Jesus. Be much in the place of humbly taking up His word and reading it. And be ready then to fulfill your calling. You are a valued member. You have all of those one another's that you're called to fulfill. And by the grace of God, you shall. There is hope for us. Dear friends, there's hope because the Lord is on the throne and Jesus Christ has covenanted to build up His people. Be part of the building and display Christ's glory.